Maybe some geological process. This was a woman's voice, a bit brisk. That or an ecology, a Gaia process that keeps the methane levels up. Those are the obvious options.
Surely, Miriam, Harry Poole said, one or the other. That's been obvious since the methane on Titan was first spotted from Earth.
But nobody knows.
Oh, there have been a handful of probes over the centuries, but nobody's taken Titan seriously enough to nail it down. Always too many other easy targets for exploration and colonization. Mars, the ice moons. Nobody's even walked on Titan.
Another man, a third, said, but the practical problems, the heat loss and that cold air, it was always too expensive to bother Harry, and too risky.
No, nobody had the vision to see the potential of the place. That's the real problem. And now we're hamstrung by these damn sentience laws.
You think we need to know?
That gravel voice.
We need Titan, son, Harry Poole said. It's the only hope I see of making our wormhole link pay for itself. Titan is, ought to be, the key to opening up Saturn and the whole outer system. We need to prove the sentience laws don't apply there and move in and start opening it up. That's what this is all about.
The woman spoke again.
And you think this wretched creature is the key?
Given he's a sentience curator, and a crooked one at that, yes.
When words like wretched or crooked are bandied about in my company, it's generally Jovic Emery that's being discussed. I took this as a cue to open my eyes. Some kind of glassy dome stretched over my head, and beyond that, a slice of sky blue. I recognized the Earth seen from space. And there was something else, a sculpture of electric blue thread that drifted over a rumpled cloud layer.
Oh, look, said the woman. It's alive.
I stretched, swiveled, and sat up. I was stiff and sore, and had a peculiar ache at the back of my neck, just beneath my skull. I looked around at my captors. There were four of them, three men and a woman, all watching me with expressions of amused contempt. Well, it wasn't the first time I'd woken with a steaming hangover in an unknown place surrounded by strangers. I would recover quickly. I was as young and healthy as I could afford to be. I was around 40, but AS preserved at my peak of 23. We sat on couches at the center of a cluttered circular desk, domed over by a scuffed carapace. I was in a gut ship then, a standard interplanetary transport, if an elderly one. I had traveled in such vessels many times, to Saturn and back. Through the clear dome, I could see more of those electric blue frames drifting before the face of the Earth. They were tetrahedral, and their faces were briefly visible, like soap films that glistened gold before disappearing. These were the mouths of wormholes, flaws in space-time, and the golden shivers were glimpses of other worlds. I knew where I was.
This is Earthport.
My throat was dry as moon dust, but I tried to speak confidently.
Well, you're right about that.
This was the man who led the conversation earlier. That 70-year-old voice, comically, came out of the face of a boy maybe 25, with blonde hair, blue eyes, a smooth anti-senescence marvel. The other two men looked around 60, but with AS so prevalent it was hard to tell. The woman was tall, her hair cut short, and she wore a functional jumpsuit. She might have been 45. The old young man spoke again.
My name is Harry Poole. Welcome to the Hermit Crab, which is my son's ship.
Welcome? You've drugged me and brought me here. One of the 60-year-olds laughed, the gruff one.
Oh, you didn't need drugging. You did that yourself.
You evidently know me, and I think I know you. I studied him. He was heavyset, dark, not tall, with a face that wasn't built for smiling. You're Michael Poole, aren't you? Poole the wormhole engineer. Poole just looked back at me. Then he turned to the blonde man.
Harry, I have a feeling we're making a huge mistake trying to work with this guy.
Harry grinned, studying me.
Give it time, son. You've always been an idealist. You're not used to working with people like this. I am. We'll get what we want out of him.
I turned to him. Harry Poole, you're Michael's father, aren't you? I laughed at him. A father who AS restores himself to an age younger than your son. How crass. And, Harry, you really ought to get something done about that voice. The third man spoke.
I agree with Michael, Harry. We can't work with this clown.
He was on the point of being overweight.